Okay, so I'm hoping to do a couple of things today. Number one, start us off with a little teaching. And then number two, with some testifying, with some sharing around how the Holy Spirit has helped me, how he helps me. And maybe if you have some time, there might be a couple of you who want to share as well. So to start us off with some teaching, first, allow me to just give you some context. Let's go back 2,000 years to when Jesus was here physically on earth. He had about a 3-year ministry, starting around the age of 30 to around 33. And during those 3 years, he took about a dozen guys under his wing as his disciples. And during that time, these individuals, like they left family, they left job, they left lives to follow Jesus. They followed him day in, day out. They went on adventures with him. They journeyed with him. They were at his hip, at his shoulder. Could you just like imagine that? Imagine for 3 years or so, constantly being with Jesus, receiving his teaching, hearing all of his instruction, his wisdom from God. Imagine just witnessing like the countless miracles Jesus performed along the way and on their journeys. I mean, imagine being there with Jesus as he rose someone from the dead, or gave sight to a blind person, or healed someone's leprosy, or caused a paralytic to walk, or took a few pieces of bread and fish and multiplied it enough to feed thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and doing that a couple of times. Imagine the Peter walked on water with Jesus. They followed Jesus into different cultures, transcending all kinds of different cultural and religious and gender barriers. They watched just multitudes follow him. I think for me, one of the greatest parts about following and being with Jesus for those years would have been just the fellowship and the friendship. Just being able to just be with the King of Kings and be his intimate best friend. Now, towards the end of his ministry, he started to prepare them that he was going to be soon departing. And so imagine that. Imagine the very person, your best friend, the person you love being with, have experienced incredible life-changing things with, the one who you know is God, and he's saying, I'm going to be leaving soon. Pretty soon you're no longer going to see me. I mean, could you imagine the sadness? Could you imagine the disappointment, the grief, even the fear, perhaps? Imagine your best friend just being like, soon you'll no longer see me. But then Jesus said, he said, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. To my advantage? What in the world could possibly be more advantageous than being shoulder to shoulder with you, Jesus? Really, try to convince me of something that could be more advantageous than living with Jesus Christ. He says, I tell you the truth. It is advantageous. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Helper, that he may be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Helper. Who is this helper? So the Greek word used in the New Testament in reference to the Holy Spirit is parakletos, which means one called to another side, specifically to help and to aid. It can also denote an intercessor, an advocate, an assistant, someone who pleads another's cause before a judge. The word itself reveals the all-encompassing role of the Spirit within the body of Christ. He is our helper, our intercessor, our assistant, our advocate, our comforter, our counselor, our sustainer. So how is it that the Holy Spirit helps us? Whenever I have a question, the first thing I like to do is I just look to Jesus. What example did Jesus show me? What did Jesus show me through his example here on earth? So I just wanted to look at a couple of things. I'm talking like just a couple drops in the bucket of Jesus' relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because full caveat, Jesus did everything with and by and through the Holy Spirit. Everything. But here's just a couple examples. First of all, let's just go right back to the very beginning in Genesis 1, where Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are together, and together they made the earth. Together they made us. It says in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. So we see that Jesus creates with the Holy Spirit. We see at the very, very beginning of Jesus' life, him as a man here on earth, that the Holy Spirit also was part of creating him as a man. I love this account in Matthew so much of how Jesus came to be here on earth. Now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Period. So we see that the Holy Spirit and Jesus, they create together. We also see that the Holy Spirit creates. Now, when Jesus was grown and he started his ministry, an individual, John the Baptist, was setting the stage. He was making his path straight. He was bringing and calling people to the kingdom of God to raise awareness, for people to repent, to turn, essentially to make the way for Jesus' ministry. And he testified saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. He did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes or immerses in the Holy Spirit. So we see that Jesus created with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was also the one that created Jesus as incarnate man. We also see that the Holy Spirit rests upon Jesus and is something that Jesus himself immerses others in. And of course, we see that the Holy Spirit led Jesus in everything. And here's one example. So after he was baptized by John the Baptist and started his ministry, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, into the desert. It says, and this is in Matthew chapter 4, it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And I'm just going to stop there for a second, because if anybody who might get hung up on this, you might be asking yourself, didn't Jesus teach his disciples to pray, Father, lead us not into temptation? And here we see that the Holy Spirit is leading Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. Just a really important distinction. God might lead you to face temptation, but he will never lead you into temptation. Amen. Okay, do you see the difference? Yes. We face temptation all the time. God himself might even lead you to the edge, only to help you to overcome. Let's see this example. So I just want to draw that distinction. It will never lead you into it. But because it is, I love this proverb, this Chinese proverb, because it is so much better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war, he might lead you somewhere where he's going to give you the opportunity to overcome. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Sorry, guys. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. Yeah, no kidding. I don't know the last time anyone fasted for 40 hours, but here we go, 40 days, 40 nights. Body is weak. He then became hungry, and the tempter came and said to him, here's the dialogue between Satan and Jesus. Devil, to Jesus says, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Not a bad idea. Been fasting for 40 days, feeling hungry. That's something Jesus could have easily done. Why not? But Jesus, who again is being led by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, responds with, and so the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, brings God's truth, back to our hearts and our minds when we need it, especially when we submerge ourselves in it. And Jesus responds, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Oh, and what a response to exemplify how nourishing and satisfying and sustaining the word of God is, because after 40 days in the desert and having the ability to turn a stone into a piece of bread, he says, "Oh, you know what's even better? Feeding on God's word."
Amen.
Okay, devil's like, "All right, let's try this again." And this time he tries to beat Jesus as his own game. He's like, "I'll try using scripture to convince Jesus to do something that I want him to do." He says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." He took Jesus to the very top of this high temple. He says, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear up, so you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus says, "On the other hand," I love it, sounds so nonchalant. "On the other hand, Satan, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." This is a really great example of one of the most fundamental things I ever learned at Bible college, that scripture must always interpret scripture. Because what the devil says there is true. It does say in the word of God, they will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear up so you will not strike your foot against a stone. And you could twist that around all day long if you want. But Jesus, who understands the whole word, says, it also says, don't put the Lord your God to the test. Devil tries another time. He says to Jesus, "All right, tell you what, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world and their glory if you just fall down and worship me." I love this. Jesus says, "Go, Satan." It's like he's just giving Satan an opportunity to save some face because he's just like so won this battle. He says, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And the devil left him. How does the Holy Spirit help us? Here's an example. Jesus, in a frail physical state, but being led by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, bending his ear to the Holy Spirit, to the Word of God, whom the Holy Spirit brings back to his heart, and he overcomes triumphantly, and the devil flees from him. There's a proverb. So if you find yourself in a desert place, a hard space, a challenging time, don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. There's a reason why the Holy Spirit doesn't lead us back to our parents' basement, make us a blanket fort, and say, "Good luck with life." He wants us to be strong, confident, experience the thrill of overcoming, and he is absolutely 100% there to support us every step of the way. Okay, this thing is like... I think it was just pulling down. Let's try that. Okay. Again, Jesus' relationship... you can keep it there in case. Yeah, thanks, Ray. Jesus' relationship with the Holy Spirit. Jesus then cites a prophetic passage from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. This was a passage that was said in reference to the coming of the Messiah, who Jesus was, and he knew it. It says, And he quotes this in reference to himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. The favorable year of the Lord is referencing the year of Jubilee, which in Jewish culture came every 50 years. It was a year where debts were forgiven and slaves were set free. A beautiful year that represents what Jesus does for us. So again, how does the Holy Spirit help us? He is upon us. He anoints us to do his work. He sends us to proclaim. He gives us the ability to do miracles, to heal both spiritually and physically, to give sight to the blind, to set people free from oppression, and to proclaim God's favor over us. So as I said at the beginning, Jesus does everything by the power of the Holy Spirit. Even the very orders and instructions he gave to his disciples was by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus makes this very, very clear. You could see in John chapter 5. Jesus says, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Well, I thought we were talking about the Holy Spirit here. Well, we are. You see, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. See how these three individuals, Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, are all one in that Jesus does everything by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit does everything by the Father. And then, after his crucifixion, his resurrection, and before he ascends, he then passes the Holy Spirit on to his disciples to empower them to do as he did. To empower us to do as he did. Jesus even said, you'll do even greater things. This is the advantage that he was talking about. God with us forever. John 20, Jesus says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. It is advantageous to you that I leave you, because then I send you one who will be with you forever. The Holy Spirit abides in us forever. God in us, he makes his home, his abode in us. We are his temple, the Bible says. So Jesus says in John 14, the Holy Spirit abides in us. So he's upon us, he's around us, he's leading us, he's in us. I guess that is even closer than being with Jesus physically. Because when I go to the washroom, the Holy Spirit's with me there. When I go to sleep, the Holy Spirit's with me there. When I'm in my closet crying, the Holy Spirit's with me there. When I'm on the top of the mountain living life large, the Holy Spirit's with me there. I love David, King David in the Old Testament, who wrote a lot of the Psalms, has this lovely passage about what his experience is like with the Holy Spirit. It says in Psalm 139, where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the abode of the dead, behold, you're there too. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. Something really important to understand about the Holy Spirit is that he seals us up in God and is our guarantee. What do I mean? Well, you don't see it. But the Holy Spirit in us is God's seal over us. It is the declaration that we are his. It is an irreversible transformation that we are his. He owns us. He is ours and we are his. It is a seal of guarantee and our constant reminder of the truth of our inheritance as children of God. It's sealed, it puts an official seal, an official stamp. Don't worry about being marked by anything else. It's greater is he who is in us than anything else. The Holy Spirit is our seal on us. And the Holy Spirit reveals truth and God's wisdom. Reveals truth and God's wisdom. Truth is life. As a counselor, when I see the greatest breakthroughs in session, the greatest celebrations in session, it's because through the process, you could see the client has been able to put their finger on what is true. All of a sudden, the darkness and the lies have fled and they've been able to find the truth. They put their finger on it. Maybe it's the truth about themselves in contrast to some core beliefs that were otherwise lies. Maybe it's truth in regards to others or the world or God. Whatever it is, whenever somebody puts their finger on truth and touches it, it's incredible what I see. It's like you could just see this incredible weight being lifted off of them. And often there's like tears or sometimes even laughter because they're able to see the lies now for how ridiculous and how powerless they really are. And they go, I can't believe I used to believe that other stuff. The truth is true. So the Spirit of truth bringing us truth, as we saw in Jesus' experience with the, you know, in the wilderness, it is so key. It's everything. From there, we are unstoppable. So as I said, the Holy Spirit does everything. He counsels, he imparts wisdom, he adopts, he calls to ministry, he empowers, he illuminates, he produces fruit, he seals, he strengthens, he helps, he intercedes, he provides truth, he helps us overcome. He teaches, he testifies, he guides, he grieves, he convicts, he loves, he encourages, he gives joy and companionship, he teaches us, he gives us words to pray, and he convicts us of our sin. When we're walking in the wrong direction, he's right there to say, how about back this way? Okay. I wanted to share a little bit about how the Holy Spirit has helped me. And this psalm, this verse has struck me as a representation of what it feels like, what the experience is like, when I'm just walking by the Spirit. When I experience his unhindered leading in my life. It's Psalm 18, verse 29. It's actually just the latter part of the verse 29. It says, by my God, I can leap over a wall. That's what it feels like. It feels like I'm just like leaping over a wall. When I experience the guiding, the impression, the presence, the whatever it is the Holy Spirit is doing, just him. So I'm going to go through a number of stories really, really quick. I'm going to give you an example of how to just share a testimony of the Holy Spirit really quickly. You don't need a lot of words to be able to glorify God. And the reason why is because I want to give some of you a chance to share. And since we don't have all day, we all have to just try being able to just get right to the punchline. Okay. Proverbs 4, 11 to 12. Since I was in high school, I knew I wanted to be a counselor. However, that involves getting an undergraduate degree in psychology, leading to who knows what, and then an expensive master's degree, who knows if I could do it. And I was terrified to do it. Terrified. I didn't believe in myself. I was afraid it wouldn't work out. I meandered and avoided for years and years and years. Built up quite the resume of employment up to that point. I got to a certain point where I couldn't handle the wrestling anymore between where the Holy Spirit was leading me and my fears. I remember getting on my face one day, crying out to God, say, God, I need you to make this so, so clear. Like, I mean, I unleashed on God because I was desperate for him to help me overcome my fears. And you know what? In that moment, he did. He just made it 100% crystal clear without question, and I knew. That's what he was saying. And then I opened up the Word of God. I was reading Proverbs 4 that day, and verses 11 and 12 leaped off the page, landed straight into my heart. They simply said, I have led you in the way of wisdom. I've directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you on upright paths. When you walk, your feet will not be impeded, and if you run, you will not stumble. And the Holy Spirit chose those verses to land in my heart and to empower me and give me everything I needed to go forward and do my undergrad degree. That is the power of the Holy Spirit, how a few sentences can give you power to go overcome your greatest fear and kill it. Fasting, next story. Several years ago, some family members of mine were going through a hell of a time, a terrible, terrible time, and I felt led by the Holy Spirit to fast. And I'm talking like a real fast. Nothing but water, nothing but water. And so for 5 days, which for this Dukeborg girl, okay, that's a lot of days without food, that's a lot of days. For 5 days, nothing but water. I worked full time. I still cooked all the meals in the household, made some delicious meals. I'm talking not even like one little bite of cauliflower while cooking a stir fry, which is nothing short of miraculous for this girl. 5 full days. I never felt so close to God. I never felt so in touch with the presence of the Holy Spirit. That was all by the power of the Holy Spirit. With my God, I can leap over a wall. Bike accident. A few years ago, I was doing some downhill mountain biking on a trail I had no business of being on, and then I attempted a jump that I had no business trying. Flew through the air, and as I was coming down head first, my bottom lip caught the front tire of my bike, dislocating this part from my mandible, and then I proceeded to land right on my face. So I'm in the middle of the mountains, and that just happened. All I can tell you is that by my God, I could leap over a wall. Someone dropped a pin, and I got picked up in a truck just a short way down that I was able to walk to. I got in that vehicle, went straight to emergency, had amazing care, immediately was transferred to Trail where I got plastic surgery. Incredible job. That whole time, I had one ibuprofen, and I took some Arnica, and no painkillers otherwise. I had to go quite a few weeks eating nothing but just liquid food, which again, on my own strength, excruciatingly hard. And here I am today, with a slight slur and a whole bunch of scar tissue inside, but you almost never know it. By my God, I could leap over a wall. And you know what, if some of you are wondering, like, well then why didn't the Holy Spirit just prevent that from happening if he had the power to have all that other stuff come together? Well, something else that the Holy Spirit blessed me with so much is that immediately I knew the blessing behind this experience from being allowed to happen. See, I also happened to be rock climbing quite a bit during that time. At the very top of a rock climb, when you're fiddling around with draws and ropes and changing things up before you are belayed down, there's a lot of room for error. And if you're not paying close attention and being very present with what you're doing, you could easily just fall to your death. And I knew I was starting to get sloppy. I think I had this sense that perhaps, not a conscious sense, but you almost just start to forget that you can make decisions that can really screw your life up. Well, that biking experience, I should have never been on that trail. I should have never taken that climb. I didn't even feel like going, to be honest. I kind of forced myself. It was such a good reminder that decisions matter. Decisions really matter. I was so blessed by that experience. You have no idea. I thank God for that bike accident. I think he saved my life. Okay, practicum. Next story. Towards the end of my master's, I had to do an 8-month practicum. And God showed me this awesome opportunity in Kelowna at UBCO. Something that I desired so much, to work with university students, with under a great supervisor, getting lots of quality experience. But my life was here in Kalsagar. I worked half-time at the local college. I was, you know, had my husband, who I'm like very serious about my role as wife and our relationship. What do? But God just, like, the Holy Spirit gave me so much joy, so much focus, so much courage, and so much strength. It was like, there's no question, I'm doing this. He arranged things with my employer while I was able to work remotely a little bit. I only had to go there 2 times per week. And every single week, a place opened up for me to stay, thanks to some family members and some friends. Never had a problem with that whatsoever. I drove back and forth from here to Kelowna for almost 8 months straight, every single week, through the winter, over the Paulson, and it felt like I was leaping over a wall. Felt like it was just the easiest thing in the world. Don't ask me to do that now, not unless the Holy Spirit's going to lead me, I'll tell you that. I just work from home from my kitchen table now, and that's about good. But that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Last one, little example of, you know, in the business world. Years ago, my husband and I decided to buy just a tiny little property out in Proctor. In the beginning of last year, I got this little nudge by the Holy Spirit saying, might be time to sell. And maybe you're probably going to sell by owner. Whew, that's a big change. Okay, so I kind of threw it out there to my husband and talked about it. Okay, a couple months later, probably going to sell, and maybe let your neighbor know. Maybe just let your neighbor know that you're going to sell it. Okay, still kind of had to get comfortable with it a little bit more and talk to my husband about it again, and we both said, like, yeah, okay, that's fine. We have no attachment to it. All good. It's just a thing. A couple months later, it's time to sell. Make up an email to your neighbor. Ask me if they're interested. So, like, make up the email, like, ponder it, tell, you know, touch base with Jer again, my husband. We're both like, yeah, and it looks good. It's in my drafts. A couple weeks later, time to send the email. And what's cool about this so far is that God knows, the Holy Spirit knows, how long we need to be prepared for something he has us to do. Sometimes you can wake up that morning and the Holy Spirit's like, go do that. And you're like, okay. Sometimes we need months or years. He knows us. He knows how we work. He goes before us. He prepares the way. And I was so ready at that moment. It's not something I could have woke up one morning and just done. He knew he needed to give me months of preparation, touching base with my husband, thinking about it, pondering it, going out there, doing my thing. But then that morning, I was like, I'm totally released. I send the email. I get one back, like, that day or, like, the next day. Hi, Tamara. We're so interested. My sister is actually coming from Switzerland next week, and she's really interested in buying that little lot beside us. Do you think you can hold it for us for just a week so she can come see it? It was sold 2 weeks later, private sale. Like, it was like leaping over a wall. I was just like, that just happened. Okay. Now you guys. Is there anyone here, and I'll just take it for by a show of hands first, who would like to share a short little testimony of how the Holy Spirit has helped them, or how, in general, just the Holy Spirit helps you, like how he interacts with you, how he connects with you? And I just want to see by a show of hands first, because if we have, you know, if we have 10 people, then what time is it? Then we know that everyone can take, like, about a minute and a half, you know, and just try to do, like, just go straight to, you know, where God is glorified. if, you know, if we have a couple people, then that means you can take a little bit more time if need be. So maybe just by a show of hands, is there anybody here who would like to share just how the Holy Spirit helps them or has helped them? And again, just for the sake of honoring what I believe the Holy Spirit is wanting us to do, let's try to focus on exactly that. I know that others, you know, you might have something to say that might be part of a different subject or maybe a slightly different agenda or something, that which is great. Come talk to me after the service and we'll figure out a way for you to incorporate that maybe another time. But today is about glorifying the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God, has helped you or helps you. And so don't be surprised, because I'm not shy, if I interrupt you because you're taking way too long or if you're totally off topic. Okay, so I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. About 7. Okay, great. That means that if each of you took a couple minutes, that'd be okay. And really no longer, because we still have some worship, and afterwards I'm sure people might want to pray together and all that. So I believe God could be glorified in 2 minutes. So feel free to... Hallelujah. And then actually after the last testimony, I just have like one little wrap-up point. So I'll need like 30 seconds for that. So whoever would like to go first, feel free. Joseph, did you want to start us off here? Or you're close. If not, like, who feels like they want to go first? Yes, by all means. Thank you.
Back when I was first, when I first became a Christian, I spent some time in fasting and prayer. And back then I had a guitar that I'd worked 100 hours babysitting to earn the money to buy. And it was very important to me. Well, while I was fasting and praying, the Lord told me I was to give this guitar to my youngest brother, who, by the way, was one of these kids that just had to look cross-eyed at something for it to fall apart. And my instant reaction was, no, not him, anyone else but him. And the Lord told me, you obey me or you'll lose my presence. So I went and gave him this guitar, and he used that guitar for 50 years to worship the Lord and to serve him. And when I turned 50, he gave it back to me. And I still have it in the same condition as it was in when I gave it to him.
Check one.
When I worked for a utility company for 35 years. I was on vacation, and I came back from vacation, and I walked into the office, and my boss says, "You're retired." I was 60 years old. And I thought, okay, that's great. I got a couple of kids, one in university. What am I going to do now? And the good Lord really blessed me. 15 days later, I get a phone call from Suncor in Fort McMurray and says, come to work. And not only was I blessed by the job, I was blessed with a very large increase in salary. And that has been, it's the only reason that we are here today is because I worked for that company.
Thank you, Tom. So good. God is so good.
Yeah. I guess it's hard to choose, because looking back at my life now, I see how he has pursued me and led me and tied all sorts of experiences together to bring me closer to him. I think one of the ones that's most profound for me is I lived on a very small island as a single mom on welfare with my two children, and I chose to be on welfare because my job was $7 an hour and I needed to pay a babysitter $5 an hour. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense to have someone else raise my children. So we spent, and I wasn't a Christian, but I've always known God as close as you can get to God without knowing Jesus, which is, you know, sort of. So we spent hours and hours on the beach. They were homeschooled. We would wander, we would explore, and we were learning so much through just being immersed in creation. And one day, my daughter was over here. She's about 7. My son's way down that way. He's a 5, and I've been sitting and drawing and writing, and suddenly it's time to call them, and I felt in my heart, what an intrusion to this sacred and beautiful space it would be for me to yell, "Hey guys, we gotta go, like, come on." And so so out of my mouth came this lilting, you know, Shanaika, Paboshi Nekalela, Hiatotono. And both of my children said, "We're coming, Mama." And they came. And from then on, any time that I needed to speak to them in a way that wanted to be honoring, you know, my son was taking too much salmon at a potluck. And instead of dishonoring him or embarrassing him or chastising him, I would say, "Kanutute, shalakite papapore." And he would go, "Okay," you know, and he knew. And so people would say, "What are you speaking in?" And I would say, you know, at that time I said, "Well, I guess it's a universal language." And from that time, it just kept developing and developing until I thought I was speaking in different languages and understanding. But because I was outside of Christ, I thought I was a bit of a freak. So I studied jazz improv. I studied all kinds of vocal stuff, and it wasn't until I came home to Jesus that he said, "This is something that belongs to me that I've given you so that you can reach and talk to other people and we can all understand each other and be one." So that's just one of the small ways. So many ways.
Thank you, Leslie. Praise the Lord.
When I was 18 years old, I had my whole life figured out. I was going to go to, right? totally figured out. I was going to go to UVic. I was going to study trombone to become a band teacher. And everything rested on an audition. And so I went to Vancouver, UVic, did the audition, had been preparing for a year, and everything went perfectly until it came to the sight reading. Sight reading is when they give you a piece of music that you've never seen and you have to play it. I had, like, at the time, a phobia of being watched over my shoulder. And the person doing the audition with me said, "Oh, well, I only have one copy of this piece, so I'm just going to stand behind you as you play it." And I don't know how long it took me, because I literally, like, those whatever minutes of my life are, like, gone. Like, I have no memory of it, other than that I know it was not good. And I could see the difference in the auditioners' faces from before and after the sight reading. Anyways, I was pretty devastated. And my parents picked me up from the audition, and how did it go? And I was like, "Don't talk to me." And anyways, so I had to wait a couple weeks, found out that I was the first on the waiting list, but that I did not get in. And looking back now, I know that was the Holy Spirit redirecting me to the path that God had for me, because all I was doing up to that point was just focusing on the path that I had for myself. And through the next year, I did some searching, and through the help of my mom and everything, actually found the music program in Nelson. And I know through all of that, that was indeed God directing me to where he needed me to be.
This may not be too profound, but it's really practical, so the guys will agree. or relate to it. I'm going to work one day, and it's been 28 days of sunshine and hot in the summer. I'm in construction. I'm hot and sweaty all day, and it's been 28 days of cloudless sky. This is Nelson 19. I don't know, that summer was like 1993. It might have been 93 degrees. I get up in the morning, I'm walking in my garage, and I look at my rain jacket, and I hear, take it. It's pretty simple, two words, take it. My brain kicks in and goes, no, it's been 28 days of really hot weather. I look outside, it's totally cloudless. I don't need to take my rain jacket. About 2 o'clock, this split cloud comes in from this side of the valley up towards Nelson, and it is a massive deluge that starts at about 2 o'clock. It is horrendous downpour, and it's raining. It's dripping off my nose. And we're trying to work, and God reminds me, you were right. I was less right. So I got covered, and in 2 hours, the boss says, that's it. Calling it, it's too wet. And that was a schooling of how he talks very practically. Take it. Don't go there. You don't have to. You need to. And just simple, simple statements.
Such a good example. Such a good example. Yeah, sometimes just a little word. Take your rain jacket, or just rest, or call your grandma. Or, yeah, so good, so good. I think this one is next here.
Morning. I'll keep mine pretty short, a few years back, me and my wife were living in Casigar, and we had just signed on to our mortgage to do another 5 years, and we were praying one day, and God said, sell your house and become mobile. And again, very simple, like Lyle was saying, just very simple, very quiet. And so we prayed about it again, and we just were talking with each other. We're like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to sell our house. So we did, and we sold our house. It went on the market, full asking price. We were out of the house in like 3 weeks, into a camper trailer, and then started like a 3-year journey of being off in Lethbridge, up to Terrace, then eventually down here again. And all during that was during COVID, and during COVID, I don't know what happened here, but up in Terrace, churches were shut down because churches were deemed non-essential to people, whereas liquor stores were still open, so think about that. But we were kind of conflicted because we were having a hard time having, communion and brotherhood fellowship with other Christians because of COVID. Nobody could see each other, nobody could go to church, and then home groups couldn't happen, so we started doing a Zoom kind of meeting thing that we were doing on Saturdays with people from like Edmonton, people from all over that would join. And we went through a season of really learning about what the Bible says in truth and where the Holy Spirit speaks, and also too what we see in our culture. A lot of what we see in our culture is influenced from our enemy, not so much by our Father. And so a lot of what we see started to be seen differently. And then when we would come back to church, finally we were able to come back to church, it was a different kind of perspective of everything because of the last 3-4 years of relying kind of solely on the Holy Spirit to help direct us to know truth. It was like a lesson in discernment in all manners of life. And so it wasn't like we were dependent on, say, the comfortability of coming once a week to church to listen to one person talk to us. It was actually like a daily quest after the Holy Spirit and reading our Bibles all the time. And then since then, coming back, we were back here in Casigar. I started driving a logging truck, and so I was kind of thrust into a everyday living on this stress of like, hey, I might not come home today. So living in that, I was even more pursuant upon the Word, and now it's become something that, like Paul says, to read the Word all the time. I used to look at that as a non-believer as like, how could you read one book over and over and over again and never get sick of it? And that's where now I find after this 3, 4, 5 years now that he's had us on of just saying, okay, I'll follow. It's been this, it's kind of funny. There's a verse in the Bible that says, you won't thirst anymore for my word. But now I have this strong thirst for the word. It's kind of funny. It goes against what he says, but I just can't get enough of it. I'm always reading it. So that's like the blessing of the Holy Spirit can create that thirst in you for it.
I love every word that you're saying. I'm just trying to honor other people that need to speak. And I would love to hear you speak sometime, because I would love to hear a full expansion on that journey. And it's such a good example. Yeah, so good. Thank you so much. I got to be true to my word. You're never going to take me seriously when I say it. I'll interrupt you after, you know, 2-3 minutes. So, okay, there's still a few people here.
I'm shy, sorry. I just think it's incredible what you spoke on today. I was praying for a girlfriend that lives stateside, and she's like an ex, you know, like, who am I, lost. She actually checked into a hospital. I can even see the disjointed stuff. And I said, today, I'm going to church. I'm going to pray that, you know, you feel and know, like, I'm going to pray for you. I hope that's okay. I'm going to ask Jesus and the Holy Spirit to, you know, grace you with Jesus for, you know, all the grief and sadness and loss, and the Holy Spirit to lead you back to wholeness. And like, wow, what we're speaking on today. Like I said, I'll bring you to your presence to church for prayers. And it's just so perfect what you spoke on. Thank you.
Such a good example of how the Holy Spirit connects us all. Okay, I'm gonna just draw the line then at 2 more, because I think, Andrew, did you have your hand up? No, okay. So just 2 more. I know, Joseph, you would put your hand up at first, and then only, maybe that's the end then? Or was there one other person that had their hand up? Okay. Okay, we'll go you then, and then we got to cut it off. We'll keep, you guys could talk after and keep glorifying Jesus afterwards.
Okay. It was mentioned, it was Greek, right? The word for the Holy Spirit? Yeah, and in Hebrew, it's Ruach HaKodesh. And I've mentioned this before, but it feels like the most important teaching I've received from our Creator is that He animates our body through His breath. And that's how the creation story happened. That's how Christ returned. And the gift He bestowed upon us was through His breath. He breathed the Holy Spirit into the disciples. Now, I'm a breathwork practitioner. I've studied with multiple lineages who have, I want to say cured cancer, treated cancer is a statement, but cured cancer through actually just breathing. It's said that we carry grief in our lungs, grief of generations. You know, there's speech of generational curses, generational traumas. What's not processed is stored in the DNA. It's passed on to the next generation, and then ultimately somebody eventually has to feel it. I want to invite everyone, maybe with 20 seconds of my time, to do, it's a very simple technique that we teach, where you breathe deeply into your body, through your mouth, let it out fully, and then keep doing it. You don't pause. It's a cyclical breath, so. If you can do that with me, please. This is how we treat cancer. Now in your own space, if you choose to do this for more than 20 seconds, for 2 minutes, for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, I guarantee you'll meet everything that you carry in your past generations, in your traumas from your childhood, and then you have an opportunity to let them go through this prayer. Amen.
Thank you for sharing, Joseph. You guys could both keep it to a minute. We could kind of put it.
I had an experience up in Fort McMurray. I had owned two homes. I owned one here in Christova for about 30 years. I owned bought another show home outside Edmonton. So when I retired from Fort McMurray, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, where do you want me to live? I said, everything is yours. So I said, wherever you want me to live, sell the other home. Whatever home you want me to sell, sell the other home. But I said, you have to sell it in 3 days. That's my fleece to you. You have to sell it without a realtor. You have to sell it in 3 days. And I have to get my full price. And it was a show home. It was a beautiful home. I love that home. So anyway, 3 days later, the phone rang. Do you want to sell your home? I said, yep. I moved out of it in 60 days and moved back here. So that was all due to the Holy Spirit, not me.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And since you kept that so succinct, we could sneak Dan in there too, and then we'll, after you finish, Dan, if you guys want to get back up to the...
There's been so many. one of the most profound, probably, which was a real turning point in my life, I think it was 2011. It's not mine, okay. I kind of had this feeling, maybe prior to this, I was always a believer, a knower of God, but there was just competing influences. And I felt a lot like life was kind of dragging me through it by the wrists, and it kind of felt out of my control. And so there was this period around 2011, I think, where I had to make a real choice, and I felt like I had all these things that I had to do, and it required a lot of money, and I had to go work on the oil rigs, and something I really didn't want to do. And I felt literally like I was being torn apart by the choice I had to make, like literally on a cellular level. It was such a hard choice to make, and I just couldn't tell which way was up or down, which way was sound or not. And so I was talking to my friend about it, and he could tell I was completely exacerbated. And he's like, dude, why don't you just flip a coin? And something just kind of nudged in me, like, yeah, I've tried everything else. I've thought about every consideration, every way I can. And so I got off the phone, and I was in this apartment building, and it was kind of right in the walkway, which is bizarre, but I got on my knees, I took out this loonie, and I swear it started to glow. And so I did this really, really sincere prayer, like the most sincere prayer possibly I'd ever done, and just put everything I could into this. And I swear that loonie was glowing. And should I stay or should I go? Heads is stay. And kind of let go of all of that, you know, this opportunity to make money and all these things I thought I had to do. And the other one was to stay. And that's another story that I'll share later. But and so I flipped the coin, heads, stay. And I was like, wow, okay. And I felt this like deep peace for like 4 hours. And then I went to bed, woke up the next day, and I kind of started to do the thing again. And I was just like, well, I mean, was that really God? Was that, you know? And I started to do that whole thing. I don't do that now, not to the same extent anyway. But, and so I did the whole thing again. I went through all of the prayer, I was like, okay, just come on, like really, like I put my, it wasn't just flipping the coin, but I did it again, said the whole prayer again, flipped it, said stay. I did that 11 times in 24 hours. Every single time it said stay, 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 stay. And then I was like, okay, I believe you. And that kind of was like a turning point in my life and the way that I interpret information and God's leading in my life. And from that period forward, instead of going to work and making all this money and doing what I thought I had to do, I actually lived off my savings for several months, and it was the most spiritually transformative time of my entire life. So.
Thank you. Come on back up, worship team. So good. In a world of chaos and constant change, and you know, the Holy Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And if He has a message He wants us to hear, He knows how we need to hear it. Praise God. Praise God. If you want to know how and when and where and why to receive the Holy Spirit, if you have not received the Holy Spirit, you want to know how. By the way, I thought at first the answer to this question would be like, well, just believe in Jesus and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior, and then the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in you. And that is 100% true. But as I scoured the scriptures and took a good look at the whole book, I realize that the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit does,
when the Holy Spirit comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit comes before you might receive Jesus or after, before you might receive truth or after, before you're baptized or after, when we're all together praying and praising all together, when you're all alone, whenever we ask and whenever he offers, whenever he wants to fulfill a purpose or a plan that he has. So we don't need to put the Holy Spirit in the box. He knows what he's doing. But I can guarantee you this. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior and ask him into your life and your heart, for him to be yours and you to be his, the Holy Spirit will come and make his home in you. And you could do that right in your chair. You could do that with one of us together. If you'd like to do that with one of us, we'll pray with you. We'll do that with you. You can do that when you walk out of these doors today. Go sit in a forest or in a closet or with some friends. Anytime, anywhere. As Jesus said, peace be with you. I breathe on you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Amen.